Now, Evangelist Winston Time.
Thank you. The Word of God at Matthew chapter 18, verses 7 through 9. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off, and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life, halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Jesus is talking about the destiny of the soul. You, my friend, are a living soul. To lose your soul is to lose your life. The thought of losing your soul is intensified when you believe the punishment is nothing less than everlasting fire. Jesus believed in the punishment of the wicked. He called it everlasting fire, and he called it hellfire. To believe or not to believe is crucial. It will determine the destiny of your life. Jesus is emphasizing what we do, where we go, and what we see are decisive factors in the destiny of our lives. The original Greek word which translates offense has in it the idea of ensnaring so as to cause a fall. The hand, the foot, and the eye are the symbols of those desires by which a man is ensnared. The hand is a symbol of what we do. The hand may offend or ensnare by doing wrong. The Jews, guilty of crucifying Jesus, had wicked hands. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. James, a servant of God, said, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." James chapter 4, verse 8. There are times when we are in opposition to God. We need to cleanse our hands by repenting of our sins. Our hands can glorify God by doing good. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Psalms 24, verses 3 through 4. My friend, it is better to go up than to go down. It is better to look up than to look down. It is better to stand up than to fall down. If our lives are on the way up, we must have pure hearts and clean hands. The foot is the symbol of where we go. Paul declared, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Philippians chapter 3, verses 18-19. The sin of gluttony is condemned. There are many who walk in a way described by the apostle as enemies of the cross of Christ. They are enemies of Christianity because they mind earthly things. Earthly things are contrary to the doctrine of a crucified Redeemer. The warning to others is that such conduct, if persisted in, must terminate in perdition. Jude affirmed that ungodly men turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, and he says they are condemned. Jude 4. In contrast to this, The Apostle Paul says we should walk in newness of life and that we should not serve sin. I would like to read the Word of God at Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. In this context of Scripture, Paul speaks of grace, and he speaks of sin. Sin reigns, and grace reigns. Sin reigns to death. Grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. There is more of grace than there is sin, but that does not justify us in sinning against God. Now hear this. Paul said, since Christians are dead to sin, how shall they live any longer therein? I want you to hear what Paul says about baptism. We are baptized into Jesus Christ, and we are baptized into his death. When scripturally baptized, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. You know, and I know, that according to the Word of God, you cannot walk in a new life until you have been baptized. After the gospel was preached for the first time, there is not a single example where anyone rejoiced in the forgiveness of sins until after he had been baptized. You have heard preachers say that baptism is not for the remission of sin. The Apostle Peter said that baptism is for the remission of sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. You have heard preachers say that baptism does not save us. The Apostle Peter said that baptism doth also now save us. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Ignorance and infidelity lead to a denial of the Word of God. The eye is a symbol of what we see. The Apostle John mentions the lust of the eyes as something to perish with the world. We simply cannot love the world. If we do, it is a sure sign that the love of God is not in us. John says there are three things that we know to be in the world. They are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All that is in the world is of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 John 2:15 through 17. All of us experience the storms of life. Jesus said, the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Under the same conditions, one house fell, and the other fell not. One house could stand, one life could survive. Hearing and doing the will of God is the assurance that our building will stand. Matthew the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 27. Recently, in a nonstop flight from Tampa to Atlanta, the plane encountered stormy weather. The turbulence was so bad that the passengers were fearful and apprehensive. The voice of the pilot was a voice of assurance. He said, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Everything is in good shape. We have cut back on engine power, but we have plenty of fuel. The gentleman who sat next to me said, wasn't it nice to hear from the pilot? In this hour, you have heard from the pilot. You have heard from Jesus the Christ, and you have heard the voice of assurance. Our prayer tonight is the first stanza of a favorite song. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll. Hiding rocks and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass came from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. God bless you, my friend.